Joseph Pasek of barnburner.ca, our daily podcast entitled Fired Up, and welcome to another edition of Fall In, brought to you by onpointbasketball.com, Drew Ebanks of onpointbasketball.com, Roy Mitchell, the Mitchell Report Unleashed. Let's first talk about Eric Bledsoe. Where is he going, and what really happened in Phoenix? And kudos, we talked about Jay Triano, but Phoenix now winning two consecutive games. Way to go for our boy, Jay Triano. Drew, where do you think Bledsoe is going?
It's hard to say where he's going. I mean, obviously, with everything that happened, Joe, the Suns are kind of put in a tough position right now, you know, because he pretty much wanted out earlier on and wasn't granted that. And so now the cards are definitely not in their hands. One rumor has him possibly going to the Milwaukee Bucks, although it looks like they want, from what the reports are saying, you know, that they may want Malcolm Brogdon. Not sure if the Milwaukee Bucks are looking to give that up as well. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see who it's going to, you know, he may go to. I've heard a rumor of maybe coming to Toronto for something like JV, but I don't know how true that is. Obviously, a lot of people are putting stuff out there.
Toronto need Bledsoe when they have point guards galore or shooting guards galore?
Well, I mean, just to continue to push the pace. The game is changing. It's a guard-oriented league right now. You know, and the fact is, obviously, at times, JV is not going to be able to be on the floor for certain matchups. But again, I mean, these are all just people throwing things out. Obviously, another one is that he could be going back to the Clippers, possibly, as DeAndre Jordan tweeted a few days ago, come back home, bro. Those were his tweets right there. You know, that could be an option. Maybe Austin Rivers coming back if they decide to go for him in that one. But again, it's all rumors and all conjecture right now.
Rory, what do you think?
Well, the biggest offering we're hearing is to go to Milwaukee, as Drew said there. The thing that I find quite interesting, they're trying to package deal Matthew Dellavedova also in that mix, which it's like two for one. You give up Malcolm Brogdon and Matthew Dellavedova for Eric Bledsoe. It's a good addition for Milwaukee if it happens. The Toronto situation doesn't make any sense because they would need to get a dominant center back. Now, let's put
the NBA is moving away from that, though. They're moving away from the dominant center. Remember that.
That move. And I agree with you, Drew, but here's the thing. Are we thinking, you know, Tyson Chandler and Eric Bledsoe to Toronto if that was to happen for JV? Which I think would make a big-time splash. I know Tyson Chandler's a little bit older, right? But I feel that having a defensive presence and a guy that's a rim protector would make a little bit more of an offering and makes it a little bit more juicy if they're talking about Bledsoe going over to Toronto, because in theory, you're going to need somewhat of a center. And I know Jakob is a tremendous player. We saw that happen last night when he played against the Golden State Warriors there too.
All right, now we'll talk on the Raptors in just a few seconds, but I want to touch on the Philadelphia 76ers. Every year they have injuries. Every year at the start of the year they're injured, and their players that are injured are not injured for a game or two pretty much almost all year. This year is no different, as their draftee, their special draftee, Markelle Fultz, just got injured, and he's gone for anywhere from 4 to 6 to 8 weeks, I hear. Drew, what do you hear?
Well, for Fultz right now, it's looking like, I don't know if it's that long, Joe. I didn't hear that long. I've heard only 3-4 games, but it could possibly be, you know, with the shoulder, obviously, cortisone shot in there as well. But what an odd situation. The thing that's kind of crazy when you think of it, the Sixers have not been hesitant in the last few years to keep guys off the floor. As you remember, they shut down Nerlens Noel. They shut down Joel Embiid for a couple years, never mind. They shut down Ben Simmons last year. Why they would let Fultz go and start the season looking like that is really beyond me. In three games, that guy was shooting, in the game so far, he was shooting 33% from the field, 50% at the line, and no threes attempted for the season. So you wonder, what were they thinking? What was the medical staff thinking? They have a new program there even as well, and a position that they've opened up in the organization for the athletic therapy, like the head of the athletic therapy program there. And to see this happen, it's kind of confounding, because you don't know why they would risk playing a guy that is so good and part of their future, their obvious future, guys.
All right, Rory, what do you say?
Well, here's my thing. This all goes back in, and I'm going to dial it back way, way back. I'm going back to the years of Allen Iverson. You know, he left his team. He had his stint. They went to the finals. Then it was the Iguodala era. After the Iguodala era, can we really admit when there has been a player drafted to Philadelphia, the next big thing or the next best thing? You know, we've looked at guys from Michael Carter Williams, right? We look at guys from Joel Embiid. They were always supposed to be pushing in the right positive direction, but what has happened? Injuries or some form of a setback. Ben Simmons was last year. Markel Fultz was this year. Now Ben Simmons is healthy, but you got to look, you know, you have issues with Joel Embiid still. You know what I mean? It's what's happening, and is it the Philadelphia curse is one that we can call it, you know, where these guys, you know, and I get it, they're healthy, they play tremendous, they work out, they have great off-season, during-season conditioning programs and all this other good stuff, but the mass amount of situations that we're seeing here is these guys cannot produce healthy behaviors on this Philadelphia team.
All right. Now, as mentioned, we'll talk about the Toronto Raptors in just a couple seconds, but you're listening to Ballin' Here, brought to you by On Point Basketball, Drew Ebanks at On Point Basketball, Rory Mitchell of the Mitchell Report Unleashed. I want to talk about the two finalists from the NBA for last two, maybe even this year, the Cleveland Cavaliers, Golden State Warriors. They are both 3-2. Now, 3-2 is not a bad record, but Cleveland losing to the Brooklyn Nets. Brooklyn Nets going at home, beating the Cleveland Cavaliers. And if you've seen it, LeBron James, after, look at his face. That was like Rory speaking English. Come on. Now, 3-2. You know, Drew, come on. 3-2 after five games. If I told you at the beginning of the year, look who the Cavs play, maybe they would have lost to Boston. But you're telling me, you look at Brooklyn, you're saying, oh, yeah, Joe, Cleveland's going to lose to Brooklyn. Bet on it.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you'll never go into that thinking anything else. I watched that game, and I was impressed with the Brooklyn Nets. I was capped to say, I mean, they did not back down at all. 29 points, 13 assists, 10 rebounds, 8 turnovers for the King in that one. Jeff Green, I like what he did for the Cavs. I think they had a tremendous chemistry, both of them, LeBron and Jeff Green, making plays for each other. Kyle Korver with 22 and 5 threes. But my goodness, you look at what the Nets were able to do. Hollis Jefferson with 19 played a solid game. And guess who played well, guys? Damari Carroll is back. 18 points, 7 rebounds. He was 7-16.
All right, Drew, let me tell you.
I'm going crazy.
Hold on, let me tell you. 18.7 rebounds, and it's going downhill for the rest of the year. He will not have 18 points again. Book on that.
Well, I don't know what happened to him in that game, but I know that I watched him, and he was getting it done. You know, he got a great contribution from Alan Crabb in that one with 19 as well. And the young guard, Joe Harris, poured in 11. I just thought they had a fight to them in that game. No D'Angelo Russell as well for them, and they came out and took it to the Cleveland Cavaliers. And right now at 3-2, as you mentioned, you know, not looking great, but obviously early in the season, we'll see what happens as the season progresses. That's for sure.
All right. Before I go to Rory, speak about 3-2 for the Golden State Warriors. We'll talk about this the next segment here about Raptors. Raptors really blowing that game because a 5-point lead with less than a minute left. And then let's talk about the Raptors game against Golden State. A minute left, 5-point lead. Here you go. What built the lead was not DeMar DeRozan, was not Kyle Lowry. It was the youngsters of the Raptors. The youngsters of the Raptors finally proving that they could play in the NBA, and not only play in the NBA, play against the NBA champions. And it was Jakob Poeltl, whatever you want to call him. Yeah, Jakob Poeltl and Pascal Siakam. Like, and then they go back to DeMar and to Kyle. They need the ball. They need the superstars. They got to. And what do? From a 5-point lead, 6-point lead, with a minute left, to down 5 at the end of the game. What's going on with the Raptors that they have to have the ball in the hand of Kyle Lowry, DeMar DeRozan, when they're leading? Just waste the time. Give it to Pascal. Give it to Jakob. Give it to whoever else, Norman Powell, even though he didn't play well. But give it to somebody who proved in that game that they were up instead of going to their star players. Drew?
I mean, obviously you pointed out a great game for the young guys. You had Siakam, Anunoby, and Poeltl, 40 points for them. Poeltl, incredible game, 12 points, 14 boards, 54%. And I'll tell you, I believe he had 11 offensive boards. I actually love to see it because I'm in a pool, and I was slow on picking up Poeltl. I should have probably grabbed him when we saw JV go down in that one. But I love what they're doing. Coach Casey said it as well. They're stressing now for the bigs to stay up, muck it up in the paint, try to get offensive rebounds, try to get tip-ins, try to tap it back, as you saw Poeltl do, to get second-chance opportunities. And they played incredible in that game. Lowry, 5 of 18, did not shoot well. But, hey, don't knock it. DeMar played good that game, 24 points. Siakam with 20. Serge with 15. Lowry, again, we pointed out, he only had 14 in that. Now, people were on Twitter, you know, obviously Twitter, I'm highly active on there, complaining about the fact that they kind of went to ISO bomb those last two plays when Lowry missed the shot, then DeMar. But it's early on in the season as well. They're still trying to work through moving the ball around, being more of a distributing team, kind of playing in the style of the Golden State Warriors, the Spurs, you know, the way the Miami Heat played when LeBron was there with Bosch and Wade. So I'm not yet ready to jump off the bandwagon. I think they, you know, they were up 5 with, what, a minute or so left or just over. You know, they missed a couple shots. If they make a couple shots, push it to 7, guys, it might be a different ballgame.
All right, Rory.
Here's the thing. It's not even about the bandwagon. It's about the organized, detailed, fundamental playing of basketball. And let's be honest, when you play a team like Golden State, you can't run ISO ball on them, okay? And I watched this game very, very close because, you know, Jakob, great player, youth player. My thing is that in key clutch moments, when the score is that you're up by 2 points, you're down by 2, attack the paint. That's what you have to do in this league. You have to attack the paint. I know, you know, we want to resort to our old tendencies, but you have to look at matchups and factors in basketball, and matchups make a big difference. Who really on Golden State is going to check Jakob Poeltl, right? Playing ability. Not really
Jakob
much.
Who?
Jakob, I believe his last name is Poeltl.
Poeltl.
Sorry. My fault. But going on to what I'm saying is DeMar DeRozan, do what you're effective at doing. Splash to the hoop, right? Create those chances. You know, if you get fouled or you don't get fouled, you miss, you have rebounders that are there to go, grab the ball off the rim, reset it back, you run back another play, and then you play it off like that. in key moments like that, I would have loved to see Serge Ibaka, you know, come up big in big moments. Go back to the OKC style of play, you know, when he used to bang in the post and just turn around. And not, it's not always about the dunking on the guys, but just backing down, using your size, using your physical ability, and just simply getting the job done. Last night was a telltale. I think the Raptors are there. I'm going to be honest. They just have to make the key adjustments and believe in what they have on the floor. Start attacking the presence of the paint, and you'll see a much different side of things with the Raptors.
All right, so they're 0-2 in their six-game road trip. Now, it's okay, if you asked, they should have beat San Antonio and could have beat Golden State, but if you look at before the games, you would say, okay, those are two potential losses, and they were. So now they play the Lakers, and arguably the Raptors should beat the Lakers. Or should they? Because Lakers did a number on the previously undefeated Washington Wizards, losing or beating Washington in overtime. They got the Lakers, they got Denver, they got Utah. You know, those are, let's face it, if you're a championship caliber team and the Raptors want to be, those are three must wins. I know we're talking about four games into the season, but Drew, aren't they sort of must wins already?
Sorry, aren't they what?
Aren't they must wins already?
I'm not saying, I don't know if it's must wins, Joe, to be honest with you. It's still early in the season, but they're wins they want to get. I mean, honestly, when I look at it, there was no Kawhi Leonard. They needed to beat the Spurs. Bottom line, they faltered, and they could have won last night, as we all just pointed out, but for a few, you know, errant plays right at the end. They could be 2-0 on the trip and 4-0 overall. So it's not panic mode right now for them. They have to execute. I think, obviously, going into a game against the Lakers, they're 1-2 right now, a young team. I think that should be a guaranteed win for them, but never take it for granted, as we saw with the Wizards losing 102-99 in OT in that one. And remember, the lead up to that was all about, you know, the talk about what John Wall was going to do to Lonzo Ball in that game. And I'll tell you, Lonzo Ball didn't have his greatest game, but he didn't back down either. 6 points, 8 rebounds, 10 assists in that, double-digit assists on that one. You got to give him props for that. I mean, John Wall did not shoot the ball well in that game. He shot, what, 30-something percent in the game? 31.8% in that one. Not very good field goal percentage in it. He was a minus 14 in that game. And so leading into the game, a lot of talk, you know, Gortat, he chimed in about that and how he was going to basically abuse Lonzo Ball. So that team came out, the Lakers, they came out with a fight. Brandon Ingram impressed in that game, you know, played a very nice game with 19 points, 10 rebounds, including a nice putback. You had to love what Larry Nance Jr. does, and I'm an old school guy, so I love me some Larry Nance. And Larry Nance Jr. following in his father's footsteps with 18 and 10 in that one. KCP with a good 14-point performance. So don't overlook the Lakers, Raptors. That's my message to you.
All right. Now, Rory, can the Raptors bounce back? And what would you say, there's a 6-game road trip, they're 0-2 now. What would you say coming back home now is a positive road trip for the Raptors? They go 4-2, they go 3-3, and everybody's happy since they lost the first two games?
I'll say this. I guarantee you they'll bounce back against the Lakers. And then I believe they go Portland and Utah. I believe that's how it lines up for them there. And then Denver's in the mix there. Let's look at it like this, and this is food for thought. They've already, in theory, played their harder games. Portland, they're a bubble team for the playoffs in the West. Denver, up-and-coming team. But I expect them to beat the Lakers. I expect them to beat Utah. And Portland and the Denver game can go either way. They may lose one of those. Worst case scenario, 3-3. You go back home. and you get back to the assignment, right? The assignment is, this is not must-win territory. The season just started, right? There's a lot of season left to play. You know what I mean? We're almost in November. But what we have to look at here is the Raptors need to build off of the key moments, the key losses that happen, right? Like I said, you just played your harder games. You played San Antonio, you played Golden State, and you stuck with those teams, right? Which is tough to do in the NBA right now. But you play the Lakers in L.A., you should be able to win that game. And then the rest, you know, it's yet to be seen. But I expect them to finish off this little back half very, very strong and, you know, go back into Air Canada Center and have this momentum that they're about to have.
So listening to Ballin, brought to you by OnPointBasketball.com. We got Drew Eubanks, the captain of On Point Basketball, and Roy Mitchell Report Unleashed. Now, I'm going to ask you, I know it's early, four games in, but what do you think the Raptors need? You saw four games already. What should they focus on throughout the 75, 76 games left? Do they go sort of develop a little bit more playing time for the youngsters? Do Pascal Siakam in more than usual or Poeltl more than usual? Drew, what do you say?
I think you're doing fine. I mean, obviously it's disappointing if you're a Raptors fan to see them lose the games. I mean, DeMar DeRozan is now 0-7, you know, in Golden State. They haven't won a game there, I think, since 2004. So you can't really fault that. They should have had that one, obviously. But you got to love, guys, 40 points from Pascal, OG, and Poeltl. Two-year guys and one rookie to drop 40 points, not to mention the boards they had in that game. You got to love the way that Masai Ujiri has done his homework on these guys. You know, and you can add in guys like Van Vliet in the mix as well. You know, obviously DeLon Wright and Powell. I mean, I think the future for the Raptors is very bright. So obviously you don't want to be 2-2, you know, but when you think of the games they lost, they should have won. They could be 4-0, as I mentioned earlier. I wouldn't panic. I like what they're doing. Continue to move the ball. Continue to mix it up. Get the ball to the paint. Collapse the defense. Kick it on the outside. Because they don't have lights-out three-point shooters besides DJ Miles. So when they do kick it out, they got to make sure they draw in the defense to give the other guys who are going to shoot threes, because that's their focus this year, you want to give them more time and more space and a good eyesight to the rim to give them a better chance. I think they could possibly make a move at some point this season, though, to get one of those lights-out shooters. I mean, they had a couple in training camp, obviously. They let a couple good shooters go, but, you know, it's a numbers game. That's how it is. But I think their bigs are solid. JB, when he comes back, I think, you know, he's been playing tremendously well when they give him the rock. I think the guards are doing well as well, the young guards. Obviously, you have Kyle and DeMar. You know, as long as they continue to play that team ball and move it, they'll be fine. But they need to get another lights-out shooter, possibly a big-man shooter, to go along with C.J. Miles on the outside.
All right. Now, that's about the Raptors. Now, I'm going to go on a limb here and ask you something, both of you guys. First, we'll start off with Rory. If you take away LeBron James, okay, arguably everybody knows he's the best player in the National Basketball Association. Give me now the second, and if Kevin Durant's number two, who is number three?
So this is it depends on what position you're looking at.
No, just overall because LeBron James, technically, he's a small forward, but sometimes he plays power forward. Sometimes he plays shooting guard. Sometimes he carries the ball. He's a point guard. So LeBron James does everything. Kevin Durant sort of does everything too. So arguably, those are the top two players. Okay, so give me the third player in your estimation right now. If the LeBron James and Kevin Durant retired, who's number one right now?
I'm going to go against the grain, and I'm going to say Steph Curry. And the reason why I'm going to say Steph Curry is because Steph Curry is dangerous right when he crosses half. And this is a guy that you need to pick up at basically half. Because if you don't pick him up, he will pull up from anywhere 30 feet and hit shots. We've seen this happen. It's just the way how basketball is right now. And I know that Durant's over there, so Durant kind of masked Steph Curry a little bit, if what we see happen in the NBA. But why I say Steph is because he creates so much havoc behind the arc. If you miss shots, he will bury you. He's going to hit clutch shots. It happened last night. You know what I mean? No pun intended to the Raptors. But it's just, he is an assassin from behind the three-point arc. And if it is any way to back this up also, too, is look what he did in that playoff game when he was down, that team was down 2 years ago in New Orleans when they were down by 21 points. He single-handedly brought that team back.
I think you make some good points, guys. I don't think Steph gets as much credit as he deserves. When you think of it, you know, like you said, Rory, I mean, he creates havoc. He changes the way you have to play the game. You know, he changes up your whole game plan if you're defending against him. And for some reason, I'm not sure, there's been a backlash against Curry and not recognizing him as one of the tops, you know, obviously possibly a top three player in the league. You also got to look at a guy like Giannis Antetokounmpo right now, and my goodness, what Giannis is doing in the NBA, I mean, he's doing it all, bottom line. He's so long, you know, he's got so much length and skill. Imagine if he can pair his abilities to get to the hoop with an ability to shoot the ball consistently from the outside. He's averaging 36.8 points a game with a career, I think it was a career high, if I'm not mistaken, 44 points in the win over Portland, 10.8 rebounds, 5.3 assists. I mean, those are LeBron numbers right there. He dropped 32 against Charlotte, 34 on Cleveland in that loss, and against Boston, 37. This guy right now, he's putting himself in that conversation, not only for maybe number two or number three guys, or maybe for number one in the league. If he keeps this going, you have to say he's going to be the number one player in the league.
So is he your pick?
He's my pick because of the way he's playing. But I also agree, like I said, with Rory, I think that Steph gets the short change. And he just causes too much havoc. I'm going to give a 10 of Google. He's right there. He's on his way. You know, but I have to give props to the chef because of the stuff he does and still continues to do.
I want to piggyback real quick. Let me piggyback off of what Drew said, and I got to agree. Giannis is a beast, and I believe we all agreed on the show. Early candidate for MVP, and if he keeps this up, he's your MVP this year. So I just wanted to put that out there.
All right, let me ask you this. Along the same questions, if I gave you, take away LeBron and take away Durant, if I gave you one player to start your team with, would it be Steph Curry? Would it be Giannis? Or would it be somebody else? Let's start off this one with Drew.
Whew, that one is an interesting question. I mean, I got it. Again, I'll go with my pick. Just slightly different. Obviously, right now, if I'm going to start it, just because of youth and upside and potential, I'll go with Giannis. I'll go with Giannis right now just because I don't even think he's anywhere near the peak of his performance ability. I think defensively, if he decides he even wants to be more of a threat, which not saying he hasn't because he's at 1.3 blocks, per game, but if he decides he wants to fully dominate, I mean, it's even more scarier. And obviously it's early on this season, but I would at this point go with Giannis Antetokounmpo as my guy, just mainly based on potential and age right now.
All right, Rory?
I'm going to go with the fan favorite. I'm going to go with 248 pounds, plays for the Minnesota Timberwolves, number 32, Karl-Anthony Towns. And the reason why is because his upside and his growth that we've seen in the last 2 years is special. I'm gonna put this out here on record. When he got drafted to Minnesota, I really, at the end of the day, looked at it and I was like, okay, I don't know if I really want this guy. I saw some stuff in college, which I was like, okay, you know what? But when we're looking at a big man that can not only shoot from the outside, but put the ball on the floor, slash to the hoop, you know, basically dunk on you and your friends at a family picnic, yeah, Karl-Anthony Towns is my lock for starting a franchise with.
All right. So now, Drew Eubanks.
Great choice. Incredible player.
And Drew Eubanks is the king of Canada basketball here for OnPointBasketball.com. So this segment, Drew is going to give out shout-outs, like he says, shout-outs to all the Canadian players. So go ahead.
Well, obviously, we got a lot of Canadians. It's we got the most Canadians in the most foreign-born players in the league. Obviously, Canada, we're moving up. Things are going well. I'll just point out a few of the nice, results so far. Obviously, Andrew Wiggins leading the Canadian charge, and Rory, I know you'll like it. He's at 20.4 per game, 4.8 rebounds. I think he could pick up a little bit on the assist. He's at 1.6. What I'd like to see Andrew do, I don't know if you guys agree with this, is become more of a playmaker with his athleticism. The T-Wolves are 2-3, and Wiggins is coming off 20-3. What do you guys think?
Well, first of all, I think that he could forget about scoring. He's never had a problem with close scoring, but you said it. What did you say? He's 1.8?
Yeah, 1.6.
1.6. For him to be, and he just signed a big, big deal. So for him to be in the category of Giannis or a big time player, he's got a 21 points, 22 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists. So pick up, you know, the assist category from 1.6 to, you know, have a couple more, because he's got a Butler in his team. He's got, like you said, the Karl-Anthony Towns. He's got all these players that you don't have to be the player now. You don't have to be the star. You could, one game, you could be the star like he did with that 3-point shot. You know, next game, you could pass the ball to Jimmy Butler. You can pass the ball. So you don't have to be the one guy who they count on, because for Minnesota, they counted on him for the last 2 years. And then Karl-Anthony Towns came, and now Butler. 2-3 to me, their record's 2-3 right now. And it's, I know Rory's a big Minnesota fan, but it's sort of disappointing, because Minnesota was one of the teams that people said in the Western Conference, watch out for Minnesota, watch out for Minnesota. And I know we're 5 games in, but it's a little bit disappointing for me. I don't know, and I'm not a fan of Minnesota. I know Rory is, and Rory could touch on this, but 2-3, are you disappointed, Rory, about it?
I'm not that I'm disappointed. This is kind of expected. They played San Antonio first. I thought it was a game that they could win, but I think what canceled that out is that they went into OKC, and I know it was a last-second shot, and I know that they play on Friday. Here's the thing. They beat even an overachieving, overexpecting OKC team, right? So what happened, what may not happen today can all happen tomorrow. I'm not disappointed. It's 2-3 still early. There's a little bit of an injury bug going on, and I know that they're just trying to find their identity a little bit. Give it time. This team, when the playoffs comes around, is going to be scary. Believe me when I tell you. Mark my words on it. Whatever speed that they get, and once they get in and they've gelled, and Wiggins decides to be the distributor that he can, because you got to remember, what he's doing right now is going to come down once Jimmy Butler starts to elevate his game. So they both have to just, everybody just needs to align like a well-oiled ship. And you're going to see some magic happen in Minnesota.
All right. Now, I want to mention Saturday in Rory's hometown, London. You want to touch on this, guys? Raptors 905 versus the London Lightning. I know Rory's going down. Drew, I think you're going down.
Yeah, down there. It's going to be a big game.
All right, so Rory owes you a couple of beers for your birthday. But speak about that for people in London. What's the buzz in London, Maury, about it?
When it comes to the NBL, right, down here, it's a hockey-dominated city, okay? So basketball doesn't really get that much of a coverage. My thing is the buzz right now is very touch and go. The Lightning haven't really talked about their roster just yet, which is quite surprising. I understand it's a preseason game. This is a tune-up game. You know, this is for both defending champions in the G League and defending champions in the NBL. I know what I'm looking for. I want to see, you know, guys like, I know Garrett Williamson is back. I know Royce White that I've talked about many times on the show. He's going to be there, the focal point, the leader. And I really hope Marcus Capers makes a resurgence back into this league. A high volume guy, played with Klay Thompson in college. Be on the lookout for Marcus Capers. I'm talking about a guy that's rangy. He's got a lot of length and he can jump out the gym. So be on the lookout for that.
All right, Drew.
I think it's going to be an interesting matchup. I think that just to see the two leagues doing this again, I think it's tremendous for Canadian basketball. Just to have the Canadian League, we were well overdue in Canada to having our own league. We're one of the most developed nations not to have our own basketball league until about 6 years ago. And it's going to be a test because there's some Canadians on the roster. Kayza Keene will be on the 905 roster. I believe Negus Webster-Chan will be as well. Liam McMorrow, the big seven-footer out of Scarborough, he's going to be there. It's going to be like a tryout for the Raptors 905. I want to shout out the guys, the champions from last year, the Canadians, Kyle Johnson, a big-time baller out of Scarborough. He's actually also a member of the UK basketball team. Great Britain's played for them as well internationally. Furia Cadogan, cannot forget about my guy, JC out of Toronto at 6'1", PG. You mentioned guys like Garrett Williamson. I love the way he plays, Rory. He is just a trooper. And if you don't know the story of Royce White, I mean, obviously he was a guy that came out of Iowa State, killed it in college, had an issue with flying, and unfortunately did not end up in the NBA. He absolutely went to town the last season in the NBL Canada. I'm looking to catch up with him, and get a couple words for him on Saturday. Team All Point will be in the building, myself, Todd Cerizo, as well as my videographer, that is, as well as my photographer, AJ Lawrence, is going to be in the building. So Team All Point is going to represent. We hope to have some nice content for you guys. I'm going to get some interviews that we can play, hopefully, come ball in next week. And we'll probably have a special guest reporter that I've been reaching out to, and he's ready to go next week for us as well. So it's going to be fantastic, I think. The show is beyond my expectations. The buzz, the enthusiasm. I think the sky's the limit, guys, for what we can do here with this Ballin' Podcast. And Rory, it's been a pleasure, man, to have you a part of this. I think you being out there in London, I think that's going to be an opportunity for you to even shed some more light in the NBL Canada. We've got to get you in there covering some action as well. So we'll see you on Saturday. And Joe, keep up the fantastic work. You're doing about 18 podcasts a day. You got to get some rest, though, my man. You got to get some rest. Go, Mo Canada. Looking forward to London Lightning versus the 905 as well. Just want to also shout out my man Vidal Masaya of King Nation Basketball. He's putting on an incredible event this weekend on Sunday called the Youth Sports Forum, guys. It's going to talk about a lot of topics. It's going to talk about racism. It's going to talk about what's going on in the world, business, nutrition, all different topics, community, education. They're going to bring in 200 kids from around the GTA to talk about everything going on And they're not going to shoot a ball. They're not going to be in the gym. They're going to be networking, and they're also going to be moving from classroom to classroom talking about these different topics. So I want to shout out my man Vidal Messiah and Akil Augustine of NBA TV Canada. He'll be the host. If we're back in town from London, we will definitely attend. It's 11 a.m. To 1 p.m., guys. And the location, let me just find the location before we let you guys and Joe take it home. The location is the Learning Enrichment Foundation, 116 Industry Street, Toronto, and that's in the northwest end of the city. Again, Sunday, October 29th, the Youth Sports Forum. So hit them up. You can check out my Instagram page, at On Point Basketball, for the post on that. You don't want to miss it if you can make it out.
And since Tuesday, it's Halloween. It's also the one-year anniversary of the Mitchell Report Unleash, Rory Mitchell. Rory, I think you should dress up as Drew. Drew, I think you should dress up as Rory. Enough said about that. This has been an edition of Ballin' here on barnburner.ca, brought to you by On Point Basketball with Drew Ebanks. Drew, tell everybody once again how to get a hold of you.
You know where I need the gram at On Point Basketball. You know, at Drew Ebanks on Twitter, Facebook, On Point Basketball, and YouTube. Check out our videos at look for On Point Basketball. And we also, we need subscribers. We want to get to 10,000 subscribers. We're just short of 8,000 right now. So if you're out there listening, we need every one of you listeners, because we've been averaging 20,000 or more listeners. We need everyone. If we get half of you guys, if we get a quarter of you guys to subscribe to On Point Basketball on our YouTube page, we get to 10,000. And I'll tell you, when we get to 10,000, it means a whole lot. We can do a lot more with what we're doing. And remember, we got a big announcement coming up soon, and we're going to announce it right here on Ballin'. So, you know, stay tuned over the next 2-3 weeks for some interesting and very exciting news about what we have planned behind the scenes for On Point Basketball.
And check out onpointbasketball.com and check out Rory Mitchell. Rory, tell everybody how to get a hold of you.
It's real easy. Rory EGN, so that's RoryEGN. And I just want to give a big special thank you to Drew, you know, like I said, giving me this opportunity, this blessing. And shout outs to Joseph Pasek, you know, just being an inspiration now. You know what I mean? I truly mean this, and I'm going to put that both for you guys, being an inspiration in my life and helping me grow and all the buzz. And Drew, I'm looking forward to see you in London, man.
That's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. We're going to try to come down there a little early. Maybe we can grab a bite to eat, hang out a little bit before the game starts at 7, Rory. So we'll hit you up and be in contact. And congratulations on the year. I still got to get you that shout-out. We're going to get it done. I want to also thank Joe. I think his work is tireless. And like I said, Joe, your work is not going unnoticed. You know, you're providing an incredible platform, and you've helped, again, to improve On Point stature in the Canadian basketball and in the global, I think, North American and global basketball community. Barnburner is it, folks. Barnburner is on point.
Well, thanks a lot, Drew. And, again, congratulations to Rory on 1 year anniversary. Hopefully you have another 120 anniversaries. Again, this has been Ballin, brought to you by On Point Basketball, Drew Ebanks of onpointbasketball.com. Check it out and subscribe to his YouTube channel. Definitely want to get up there, because this guy is seriously is Captain Canada, Adrian Wojnarowski of Canada. And don't forget to check out Rory Mitchell, the Mitchell Report Unleashed, 1 year anniversary episode out Tuesday. Yes, Halloween. And like Rory says, it's going to be out late in dark hours. Right, Rory?
Yes, something like that. And I just wanted to have a little side note there, too, you know, and we forgot, you know, Drew, special birthday this past week.
Thank you.
What'd you get up for your birthday, man? Tell everybody. What would you do for your birthday?
Oh, you know, we just kind of laid it low, didn't do too much, had a little bit of outing on the weekend. But other than that, I had a chance to go hang out with moms, you know, and watch a Raptor game as well, which was very fun to be able to do that on Monday and grab some food. You know,
so
shout out to Oxtail God, but I had some Oxtail of my own. It was great, man. It just to live to see another day with everything going on, Rory and Joe. I'm grateful and thank you, Lord, for having me here and to live out my dreams covering Canadian basketball.
Well, I'm going to officially give you a stamp. He calls you the Adrian Wojnarowski of Canada. I have to call you Oxtail Poppy.
All right, on that note, I'm just going to go out and eat. So thanks for listening to Ballin, brought to you by On Point Basketball, Drew Ebanks, and Rory Mitchell, Mitchell Report Unleashed, onpointbasketball.com, and subscribe to his YouTube channel. Please get him up to, he should already be at 10,000. He should be already at 100,000. Come on, fans, check it out, onpointbasketball.com on YouTube. Thanks a lot, you guys.
Thanks, Joe. Great job.